Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Good morning, everyone. How are we doing this morning? Are we good? Oh, fantastic. Well, the 9 o'clock was way louder than you guys, so you can't let that happen. Come on. Are we good? Ah, there we go. Those are my people. I knew you were out there. It's fantastic. Well, my name is Sadara, and I have the privilege of being on staff here at The Rocks, and I also have the immense privilege of speaking to you for the next little while. So if this is your first time here, then let me add my welcome to you as well. So glad that you decided to join us. As Pastor Daniel has already mentioned, our slogan around here is "No perfect people allowed." So if you thought that church was a place that you only came to after you got your life sorted, then I want to let you know that that is not the case at all. You know, all of us here, we all believe that we're in need of God's grace. And so I just want to let you know that you're welcome here exactly as you are. I also want to say hello and a big welcome to our YouTube viewers and our podcast listeners. Wherever in the world you're joining us from, welcome. We're so glad that you could tune in today. Well, talking about today, today is the 23rd of December, which means, Chitra, how many days to Christmas do we have? Two days to, did you just say seven? Pastor Mike. Okay, that's, I'm just gonna leave that for the home environment. We have 2 days to Christmas, Chit. Hope you got your Christmas shopping done. We've got 2 days to Christmas. And that means that tomorrow's Christmas Eve, and I really hope you're going to join us at our Christmas Eve services at 5 and 7 o'clock. It's going to be amazing. We're going to ring in Christmas together. So that's really special. But today, I'm going to be wrapping up our Christmas series. You guys are quick on the uptake. Wrapping up Christmas. See what I did there? Okay, for those of you who didn't get it, we're going to be concluding, we're going to be finishing our Christmas series, God with Us, today. Now, if you were here for the last 2 weeks, you'll know that we've been centering around this theme verse that's from Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. And it says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And right there in a verse is really, it captures the true meaning, the spirit of Christmas. We're celebrating the reality of Emmanuel, God who left heaven to come and make his home with us. And we've been sitting there and looking at different situations and circumstances in our life. And we've been thinking about the God that walks with us. Firstly, we looked at the God who walks with us in the valley. And then last week, Pastor Daniel spoke such an amazing message about God with us in the storm. And today, it's my great privilege to conclude this series by talking about God with us in the wilderness. So we're going to pray and then dive right in. Why don't you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much, God, that you are not a distant God, that you're not a God who's a pie in the sky God, but you came down, left heaven to come down to be with us, to make your home with us inside of our hearts. And Father, as I speak this message this morning, I pray, Holy Spirit, would you come and bring life to our hearts again? Would you reignite our faith for this Christmas season and help us to see the reality that is Emmanuel, God with us both now and forevermore? And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Amazing. Well, okay, as we get started this morning, just out of interest, who here is competitive? Who would consider themselves like, oh, some very honest people in this service? I like that. That's great. Okay. Zoe's like, yeah, kinda. Alex is like, yeah, I'm competitive. I get you, mate. I'm competitive too. You know, sometimes we find that there are some people that are just a little bit more competitive than other people. My husband, Dev, is one of these people, let me tell you. So just fair warning, if you're ever in a situation where you're playing a game with him, it's best to get on his team, okay? Don't say I didn't warn you. But here's the thing, I'm a little bit competitive too. And the thing is, what I think it's mostly for me is that I just don't like to be bad at stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't like to suck at stuff. And Dev's like, it's okay, babe. You can't be good at everything. And I'm like, why? Why can't I be good at everything? But you see, I have had to come to accept that there's a very long list of things that I'm not very good at. One of them is numbers, maths. So if you're thinking of hiring me as an accountant, don't do it. Don't do it. Not very good at that. Oh, cooking. It's probably not my greatest triumph in life, let's just put it that way. But out of all of these things, the thing that I am the worst at, the very thing that I am absolutely terrible at, is reading maps. Like, I can't give directions to save my life. Just navigation in general, yeah, can't do it. Just not good. And you see, often when we're going somewhere, Dev and I will be in the car, and I don't drive. So Dev's driving, which means, guess who's navigating? That's right. And so I've got my phone out, and I'm on Google Maps, and I'm following, you know that little blue dot that tells you where you are and where you're going? So I'm following this blue dot, like my life depends on it, because let's be honest, it does. And then everything is fine, all up until the point that, and I don't know if this happens to anyone else, but it certainly happens to me, until this blinking blue dot, it starts jumping all over my screen and starts rerouting itself. And at the most inconvenient times, because I'm trying to decide whether we have to turn left or right, and by the time I've enlarged the screen and looked at the street signs, we've passed the exit, Dev's mad at me, I'm mad at the blue dot, and I'm mad at Dev because he's mad at me. And let's put it this way, it's not a happy situation in the Dimmel car. So we decided to invest in our marriage, and we now have purchased one of those phone holder things that you can plug into the screen, you know, that you can just put it on the windscreen. Yeah, we've got one of those. We thought it was best for our marriage. And now Dev can look at the blue dot for all eternity. Peace be with you, son. But you know, there are times when I wish that we could have a blue dot to navigate life with. I don't know about you, but I find that sometimes in my life that there are certain seasons, certain periods of my life that it feels like I'm going around the same roundabout over and over again. I'm dealing with the same stuff over and over again, the same cycles of things over and over again. And there doesn't seem to be a destination, or there doesn't seem to be an end point. And I might know where I want to go, but I just don't know how to get there. And I don't know where I am in relation to the grand scheme of everything else. And at those points, I feel like a blue dot would be really helpful. You see, this is the kind of time that we're talking about when we talk about the wilderness season. And I don't know where you find yourself this morning. I don't know whether you find yourself in a cycle of stuff that happens over and over again. You just can't seem to move past it. Maybe for you, you've been trying to get pregnant for a really long time. You've tried and you've seen every doctor and you've seen every treatment, but it just doesn't seem to be happening. It's a wilderness place. It's a place of waiting. Maybe for some of you, it's to do with a job. You've applied and you've interviewed and you've just kept trying and kept going for interviews and over again, but there just doesn't seem to be a breakthrough. Maybe for others of us here, maybe for us, we've been battling with a long season, a long period, years and years of depression and anxiety or addiction, and we just can't seem to make that next step. Wherever you find yourself this morning, maybe it's a financial situation, maybe it's a court case, maybe it's a sickness of a child, wherever you find yourself this morning, I don't know what that situation is specifically for you, but I do know this, that God wants to speak to you, and this message is exactly for you. And to do that, we're going to look at a story in the Old Testament. Now, the Old Testament, for anyone here who's unfamiliar with the Bible, it's the first half of the Bible. And in this first half of the Bible, we find this book called 1 Kings. And in this book, we find this story about a prophet. Now, a prophet was a messenger of God in the olden days. He was a messenger of God to the people. And we find the story of prophet Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 19, when we find Elijah, prophet Elijah, he's in a little bit of hot water. He's just in a little bit of trouble with King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. Everyone say Jezebel. Just cause Jezebel. And we find that Elijah has been battling the king and queen for a while now because they've been practicing pagan religions and he's been speaking out against them. And Queen Jezebel has had enough. Don't get the lady angry. So she's had enough, and she has put a price on Elijah's head. And she promises that he will be dead in 24 hours. And that's where we find Elijah when we join the story in verse 3. And this is what it says. He says,
Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. And strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. You see, I find this situation pretty extraordinary, because this is no ordinary man. This is Elijah, prophet Elijah, the great prophet Elijah. You know, just a few chapters ago, we read that Elijah, he had commanded a drought over the nation and there was no rain for 3 years. Mighty Elijah, who called down fire from heaven and then he brought back the rains again. You see, Elijah, he had been involved in some pretty incredible encounters with God. He was a mighty man of God, and yet we find him in the wilderness, under a bush, praying to God to end his life. Verse 4, "I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." That's it, God. I've had enough. I've tried. I've battled. I've given it my all. Nothing's happening. Nothing's going to change. I've had enough. I can't do it anymore. Please, just end my life, God. Do you know that even the mightiest people of God, even the most faithful people of God, even the most steadfast people of God, they all go through valleys and storms and experience the wilderness. You know, there's this false notion sometimes that when you become a Christian, that you get this all-access free pass to a trouble-free existence. But that's not true at all. God is not a genie. He's not a magician, and he's certainly not Santa Claus. In fact, Jesus warns us in John chapter 16. He says, "In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." Hey, you will go through some valleys in your life. Hey, you will pass through some storms in your life. Hey, you will experience the wilderness from time to time. But take courage, take heart. I have overcome the world. And so because I have overcome, through me, you can overcome too. I have won so that you can win. And perhaps if you've been a Christian here for a while, you've heard these words before. They're familiar to you. And you believe them. But who knows that sometimes when you're in the middle of your wilderness and your desperation sets in and your loneliness sets in, that you find yourself just like Elijah, praying to God to take your life. Is there anyone here who's prayed those kinds of prayers? The challenge of life has just got too much for you. And maybe you had thoughts like this. And perhaps for some of us, we've even acted on these thoughts. I just want to let you know this morning that there's no shame or condemnation here for you. We all find ourselves at the end of our tethers. But here's what I do know. What I believe for you is that by the end of this message, that you will see that there is a hope that is a living hope. That you will see that there is a strength that goes far beyond your own. And that there is help close by because of God, Emmanuel, God with us. You see, I don't know how long the wilderness has been. I don't know how many years you've been going around the same stuff over and over again. But the wilderness doesn't mean that God is not with you. No, the wilderness is exactly where God comes to meet you. Just like he came to meet Elijah in verse 5. And it says, all at once, an angel touched him. Now, an angel here actually refers to the presence of God himself. So God himself goes to meet Elijah in his wilderness. And this is what he says. He says, "Get up and eat." And Elijah looks around, and there by his head he finds some bread and he finds a jar of water. And Elijah eats and drinks and he goes back to sleep again. You know what strikes me as odd? It strikes me as odd that when Elijah, this man of God, he's God's guy. God's got his back. When God's guy is down and out and he's struggling in the middle of his wilderness, the only thing that God comes to tell him, not once but twice, by the way, because it says in verse 5, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. And then again in verse 7, it says the angel of the Lord came back a second time and said, get up and eat. The journey is too much for you. Two times God comes and tells Elijah the same thing. And what does he say? He says, get up and eat. The only thing that God comes to Elijah and says in the middle of his struggle twice is get up and eat. I came to tell some people here this morning that it's time to get up again. I don't know at what point in your wilderness journey that you stopped and you thought that it was over, that you sat down, you resigned yourself, and you said, listen, I'm going to sleep because nothing is going to change. So what's the point? What's the point of going on? What's the point of fighting? What's the point of hoping? What's the point of believing? Because surely, surely this is the end. I've been trying for years and years and years, going on, battling for years and years. Nothing has changed. So nothing is ever going to change. I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to give up. Well, the Lord comes to you this morning and says, hey, it's time to get up and not give up. It's time to get up and not give up. Because you see, just like Jesus told the disciples at the point of transfiguration, he says, get up and don't be afraid. Why don't be afraid? Because it's Jesus who calls you. Yes. Get up because Jesus calls you. Don't be afraid. Just like God appeared to Joshua when Joshua thought that they were down and out and the Amorites were going to kill him. He said, get up, Joshua. Why have you fallen on your face? In other words, why have you given up? Why do you think it's all over? Do you not know who I am? Do you not remember who I am? I am God. Come on. It's time to get up again, Joshua. Just like Jesus, when he was passing through a village in Luke chapter 7, and he sees a funeral procession, and he sees a mother who's distraught. She's just lost her son. And this is what it says. It says, when the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and said to her, do not weep. And he came up and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak. If you feel dry and barren and empty this morning, if you feel like you've got nothing left in the tank, if you feel like you don't have a will that's left to go on, that a part of you has died in the wilderness, then I have good news for you this morning. You see, God is in the business of restoring lives. God is in the business of restoring lives, and he is able to restore the parts of you that are aching, that are dead, that are weary, that are burnt out, that are withered. He's able to restore life back in you, and he's able to reignite your hope and redeem your faith. God is able to restore life in you, but it's time to get up. Yes. It's time to stand up. It's time to rise up again. Don't stay where you fell asleep. Come on, it's time to get up. Why have you fallen on your face? And God comes to you this morning, just like he came to that woman in the story, with deep, deep compassion. Compassion for you and your struggle. Compassion for your pain. Compassion for your frustration. Compassion for your hurt. Compassion for your ache. And he looks at you with all the gentle, loving kindness, and he says, come on, get up. It's time to get up again. Don't give up, but instead, get up. And why does God want you to get up? Why does he say, come on, stand up? Why does he say, arise? Why is it so important that you stop sleeping and start getting up? You see, I believe just like it was for Elijah, he wants you to get up because he wants you to eat. He said to Elijah, get up and eat. He wants you to get up because he wants you to eat. You know, God provided Elijah bread and he provided him water in the wilderness, didn't he? Oh, bread. Does anyone else here love bread? I love bread. I believe that bread is food from heaven. I mean, we read about it right now, so it's biblical, right? Bread is a blessing. Anyway, carbs are life. Okay, I'm going to stop touching that. So, God provided Elijah bread, and he provided Elijah water in his wilderness. And you know what? God provides us the very same thing in our wilderness. But you see, the kind of eating and drinking that I'm talking about has nothing really to do with this. Because you see, when you're in the wilderness, the kind of bread that you need, the kind of water that you need is water and bread that doesn't just feed your body, but it also feeds your soul. The kind of bread and the kind of water that you need doesn't just feed your body, it also feeds your soul. You see, yes, God provided Elijah bread and water, and he provides us bread and water too. But the bread that he provides us in the wilderness is not just this bread, and it's not just this water. The bread that God brings us is living bread. The water that he provides us is living water from a well that never runs dry. But where do we find this kind of food? Where do we find this kind of bread? Where do we find this kind of water? Well, in John chapter 6, this is what Jesus said. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who comes to me, he who believes in me shall never thirst. You see, the bread, the living bread that God provides, the living water that God provides us right in the middle of our wilderness is Jesus Christ himself, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, the presence of Jesus. Do you know that there is a hunger in your heart and a thirst in your soul that no amount of good bread and pure water can satisfy? There's a need in your soul, a longing in your heart that only the presence of the one who created you can fill. You know, if you're not a Christian here this morning, perhaps you don't understand or can't really be dealing with all this faith stuff, but you know that while everything in your life is fine, perhaps you can relate to the fact that you find that there's just this one thing, just this longing, this aching, this searching for just something that you can't quite put your finger on. Can I humbly suggest to you this morning that perhaps the thing that you're aching for, longing for, searching for is God himself? The very presence of God, the one who loves you, the one who knows you, the one who fashioned you, saw you before the foundation of time, the one who longs for you to know him. And all you have to do this morning is exactly what Jesus said. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. All we have to do this morning is to come and believe. Come and believe. In Isaiah 55, it says this. It says, is anyone thirsty? Come and drink, even if you have no money. Come, take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. In Psalm 23, King David says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know that Hebrew word table actually means feast? It means a banquet. So we're not talking about a little itty-bitty table with some crumbs. No, we're talking about a whole feast, an actual banquet. And it goes on to say, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. There's an abundance for us. Hey, are you hungry this morning? Are you thirsty? Do you lack? Do you find yourself in need? Do you find yourself wanting? Well, I'm here to tell you that right in the middle of your dry and barren and empty wilderness, God has provided a feast for you. He has provided, he has laid out a table, a banquet for you. And there's an invitation for you to come and to drink from a well that never runs dry. The finest of food, a cup that overflows. When you find it hard in the middle of your challenge, in the middle of your circumstance, in the middle of your depression, in the middle of your anxiety, in the middle of your waiting, God has laid out a feast for you. There is a place at the table for you, and the invitation is for you to come and believe. Come and believe. John Piper said that believing is receiving him as food and water and life for your soul. Jesus Christ is food and water and life for your soul. And all you need to do is come and believe. Did you know that Jesus himself was tempted in the wilderness, that he went through a wilderness experience himself? And as he was being tempted, this is what he said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, he said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Did you catch that? Man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You see, it's not just enough for me to eat this bread because it won't satisfy my soul. I need to find the words, the very words that proceed out of the mouth of God. Those life-giving, life-changing, life-sustaining words. And where do I find these words? Where do I find it? I find it here. I find it here. They're all contained in this book, written and recorded, thousands of syllables and words and stories and allegories, all pointing to one thing, all pointing to Jesus, all pointing to the life and the breath of Jesus Christ, the living bread and the living water. And we need Jesus for the journey in the wilderness, because Jesus is the only one, the living bread, the living water, that strengthens and satisfies and sustains us for the journey through the wilderness. It's all contained here. This book is not just for Sunday, it's for every day. And it's for you to live and feast and drink from. It guides your life. You don't need a little blue dot to navigate life. It's all in here. This is what you need, because Jesus is contained in the pages of this book. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. You know, I don't have three more points this morning. I don't have a three-point sermon. There's not a long list of takeaways. I have one message, one direction, one instruction this morning. Jesus. It's all there is, and it's all you need. Just Jesus, the living bread and the living water poured out for you to come and eat and to come and drink. Come and believe. He is food for your soul and water for your spirit. Bread of life, the wellspring that never runs dry. And you find him in the pages of this book and in the deep recesses of your heart. You know, when I go through a wilderness period myself, my first point of call is Psalm 23, because I find that it speaks to my heart. It is bread for my soul, and it is water for my spirit, because it reminds me of who God is, and it reminds me that he is Emmanuel. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. He makes me lie down by green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup, it overflows. Surely, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Life-giving, life-changing, life-sustaining words that speak to my soul and speak to my spirit and give me strength for the journey through the wilderness. And I have one more thought that I want to leave with you as I finish. The story goes on, and we read that in Elijah's story in verse 8 says that Elijah, strengthened by the food and the water, he makes the journey to Mount Horeb. And there God gives him a second instruction in verse 11. It says, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, no. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. So God tells Elijah, hey, I want you to go and I want you to stand on a mountain because the presence of God is about to pass by. And so Elijah starts looking for the presence of God. And he first looks in the wind that tore the mountains apart, but God's not there. And then he starts looking at the earthquake that shattered the earth, but God's not there either. And then he thinks, I know God must be in the fire that consumed everything. But God's not there either. No, God is in the whisper. And Craig Rochelle, he asks a really good question about this. In the middle of Elijah's wilderness, in the middle of his struggle, in the middle of his desperation, God is in the whisper? Why is God in the whisper? Is he trying to make it hard for Elijah to find him? Is he hiding from Elijah? Do you find that sometimes when you go through a wilderness period, you find it difficult to find God? You find it difficult to hear God's voice? God, where are you? I've looked in the wind. I looked in the earthquake. I looked in the fire and you're not there. Where are you, God? Are you hiding from me, God? Have you left me, God? Is this it? Why is God in the whisper? Surely when you need him the most, when you need to hear his voice the most, he should be shouting, he should be yelling, he should be screaming from the rooftop, I'm here, I'm with you, don't worry, I've got you, everything is gonna be okay. Surely in the middle of my wilderness, God should be shouting at me, it's gonna be okay. But God is in the whisper. Why, in the middle of my wilderness, does God choose to whisper? I'm gonna ask my husband Dev to help me with this next part. So Dev's all the way back there near the doors. So babe, what I'd like you to do is, all the way from back there, can you say, I am with you, but I need to be able to hear you all the way up here. So whenever you're ready.
I'm with you.
Can't hear you.
I'm with you.
Okay, that's a bit better. Cool. Why don't you come just halfway down that aisle? Round about where Mark is. Yeah, that's good. And now can you say from over there so that I can hear you all the way up here, I am with you.
I'm with you.
Great. Now can you come all the way up on the stage? All the way up, all the way to me, and get really close by, okay? Don't bite. Don't worry, people, it's still PG-13. It's gonna be okay. This is it. And now can you tell me, so that I can hear you, I'm with you.
I'm with you.
And again.
I'm with you.
And once more. Amazing. You see, the further you are away from someone, the louder you have to shout. The more distance there is between you, the louder you have to raise your voice. God, why are you not shouting? God, why are you not in the wind or the earthquake or the fire? Why aren't you screaming at me, God, in the middle of my wilderness? Why aren't you yelling that you are with me? Why do you choose to whisper? Why? Does God whisper? God whispers because he's close. whispers because he's close. He's close to you in your pain. He's close to you in your struggle. He's close to you in your rejection. And he's close to you in your hurt. And he's close to you when your heart is breaking. And he's close to you in your doubt. And he's close to you in your unbelief. And he's close to you when you're waiting. And he's close to you in your battle. And he's close to you when you want to give up. You see, God whispers because he's close. He doesn't need to shout. And I believe this morning that he comes to you again, just like he came to Elijah. And he wants to whisper to you again. Whisper words of hope. Whisper words of truth. Whisper words of encouragement. And he whispers because he wants to get right up and personal. Close. Be discouraged. The Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't miss him because you're looking in the wrong place. He's not out there. He's right here. And he comes and he whispers to you again this morning. He says, I am with you. I am with you in your wilderness. And he says, hey, the Lord himself will fight for you. You only need to be still. God whispers because he's close. And he whispers because he has never left you. He whispers because he's right there with you in the middle of your wilderness, in the middle of your battle. And he comes and he says, hey, those who hope in the Lord, they will renew their strength. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. God whispers because he's close. He whispers because he doesn't have a reason to shout. He's always been close. From the start to the very end. And maybe this morning, he comes to you today just like he came to us 2,000 years ago. Quietly. Under the cover of night. No fuss, no fanfare. Born in a manger to very ordinary people, quietly. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, God with us. God with us and God with you. He's close. He came to be close to you. The promise of God, both now and forevermore, is Emmanuel, God with us. I wonder if we can stand to our feet all across this room. We're going to go back into a song, and I pray that as we sing this song, maybe we'll sing just a verse of it. But as we sing, can I encourage you to open up your hearts and declare this with faith? That God is with you in your struggle. God is with you in the middle of your wilderness. And he's given you Jesus, the bread of life, the wellspring of life. And you have everything you need. You have strength for the journey. You can keep going. You can get up and not give up because he is with you and he is close by. Come on, church, let's sing this with faith in our hearts this morning.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.